Praise the Lord. Good morning. We're going to address something today, I think, that we need to be reminded of as Spirit-filled believers. The beauty and joy of speaking in tongues and singing in the Spirit. We need to look at it. We need to look at it with some fresh eyes. We need to go back over some familiar passages and see if there's something that needs to be changed in us or if we need to increase in this. Those of you that speak in tongues, I hope that it's a very beneficial part of your life. If not, it needs to be. That's why I have here the beauty or the joy of speaking in tongues, because it is a beauty and joy to my life and through my life. I guess it's just a constant flow of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And at times, I don't think that each of you or some of you enjoy that same refreshing. And we need to be reminded that there's a well that we can be partaking of all the time. And we just need to look freshly at this. And I'm going to have to go back to a question that I was asked on our last mission trip to Belize, Central America. And I was asked a question, and I gave the person an answer. And we're going to look at that question today, and we're going to go into a little bit deeper answer. Heavenly Father, I'm asking, Lord, that you would grant a greater understanding or a greater revelation to us to certain truths that we may be established in. But I'm reminded what Peter said, that he had to leave us a reminder that so that we could remember these things and we could stir ourselves up and that we could go back, even though that we're established in the present truth, that we need to go back and look at it once again and see if there's something else that we can grow in and we can increase in, Lord God. And so just help me this morning as I begin to touch on this subject, Lord God, of the beauty, the joy, the wonder, the excitement, the life of speaking with other tongues that you have given to us, Lord God, and those baptized in your Holy Spirit, and those who've been baptized and have not, Lord God, they need, Lord God, this precious fountain of life, this spiritual fountain of life, Lord God. And so help me, Lord God, just answer the question that I was asked so many months ago in a way that brings understanding, enlightenment, freedom to all of us in Jesus' name. I was approached by one of the men at the church in Hattieville, Belize, Central America, and he asked me a question. And he said, Pastor Mark, he goes, why is it that when some people are baptized in the Holy Spirit, they get a word or they get a phrase, and that's all they have. And you know, a week, a month, years later, they're repeating the same word, they're repeating the same phrase. And he wanted to know about that. And along those same lines about someone when they sing in the Spirit, it's the same words, it's the same tune, you can almost count on, you just know. How many of you ever have ever experienced that? When someone's going to get up and pray in the Spirit, you almost know exactly what it's going to sound like when they say it. Or when they get up and sing in the Spirit, you know exactly what it's going to sound like. You know the tune, you know the words and everything that there is. I mean, how would you like it if I came every Sunday morning? Paul said that he'd rather speak 5 words with the understanding than 10,000 words in tongue. Okay, so let's say I came in every Sunday morning with 2 words. Bless God, bless God, bless God, bless God, bless God, bless God. I mean, after a while, you're going to say, man, is that all this guy can say? I think sometimes we sound like that in the Spirit with tongues. I think that's, you know, a lot of times, you know, we got this one phrase, this one word, this one sentence, and that's all, you know, we're just going around. Bless God. God wants to increase us. God wants to liberate us. As you have a fluent vocabulary in your native tongue, which everyone here, our native tongue is English. Frank was Spanish at one time. That we have a complete flowing dialect vocabulary in English, so we should have with the Holy Spirit. So we should know, and we should be developing, and it should be ever expanding. My language has changed over the years. It has grown It is just sometimes it might, I don't even know how my mouth makes such noises as it does. I mean, there's that. You know, I can't even make it happen right now if I want. But I tell you what, there's a time when I'm released in the Spirit and all of a sudden words and phrases and things are coming up out of my mouth. I was like, man, how did my mouth contort to say that? And that's the way it should be with all of us. And I have seen over these past 30 years of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, I have seen people speak in tongues the right way, and I've seen people speak in tongues the wrong way. I've heard the tongues of truly baptized in the Holy Spirit individuals that have done it properly, and I've seen people with issues in their life where they, and it's just like an anger, it's like a bitterness is coming out. See, the gifts of God are without repentance. We can do it the right way, and we can do it the wrong way. I've heard the tongues of demons. I've heard people that have been in the occult. I've heard people manifesting demonic activity when they come up for ministry or even in the chairs, hideous, nasty sounding, make your hair stand up type of language that you're like, oh my gosh, you knew that just wasn't prayer from the Holy Ghost. And in the name of Jesus, shut up. Be quiet with that. You know, I don't want those things manifesting or coming out. I mean, I want it to come out of the person, but I don't want to be hearing that type of demonic tongue. We've heard people, as if on cue, whether needing to be heard or a couple songs are sung, it's quiet. You can almost know who's going to speak. You just almost know it every single time. And yet there could be someone in here that God is prompting. God is quivering their lip. God is giving something for them to say. And they're not saying it for the benefit of the body of Christ. If I had to wait for two songs in a quiet time to speak, God could never use me out in the world. We can't relegate the speaking of tongues and its interpretation of how God wants to use us just for a church service, a two-hour session on Sunday morning. We can't be in the grocery store saying, I hope a song will come on now and wait for a pause so I can speak to somebody. Sometimes we can get trained the wrong way on certain things. Sometimes we can get accustomed to doing things a certain way, and God wants to free us up. I find myself praying in tongues. Most people don't even know I'm praying in tongues. It's like a constantly underneath my breath, it's going on all the time. But it's just not words coming out. There's a purpose. And if you'll begin looking at the Word of God says, what Word of God indicates about praying in the Spirit, if you'll begin to pray in the Spirit with purpose, things will begin changing within your life. There has to be a purpose when we're praying in the Spirit. And so as I began, you know, answering this person's question, and I've been thinking on it, over these number of months. And then, you know, having my conversation with Pastor Bill this past Tuesday, you know, I've come up with some things that sometimes a person just has one phrase because that's all they believe that there is. They got that one phrase and they just thought, I've got speaking in tongues. They've never even investigated the fact. They never even thought that there could be more. There were others that I've seen to their own detriment, where they came up desiring to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and someone gave them the sentence to say. Someone gave them the few words to speak in tongues. They were never baptized in the Holy Spirit. They walked out living a defeated life, and they have completely rejected the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they were told to repeat a phrase. They were never baptized in the Holy Spirit, and their life has been in utter defeat ever since. The Word of God says, when I get baptized in the Holy Spirit, I will speak with tongues, period. I don't have to make anybody repeat anything. I don't have to make anybody say anything. The Word of God says when the Spirit of God comes in, the tongues will come out. When I buy a pair of shoes, the tongue comes with it. Okay? I don't sit there and buy a separate thing. Sometimes people do need to be prompted. Sometimes people need to be instructed as I have instructed people. I've instructed people just, you know, because when they're coming up at times, they're asking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I say, now what I want you to do, this is how God has led me at times, not every time. I want you to say, thank you, Jesus, and worship the Lord with your understanding, but not with your lips. Just let it go from your mind. You're worshiping and you're praising God. And you're going to sense right here, you're going to start hearing syllables and words that are unfamiliar to you. You need to articulate them. Oh, I do. Whoom! It just comes flying right out. I mean, it just begins to flow right out of them. There have been others that they have a single phrase or a single word, but they're soulish, there's carnal, there's a besetting sin, there's something that they refuse to deal with. But because they can say that phrase, because they can say that word, they progress no further spiritually. They have a thinking, because I can say this, I must be okay with God. And the Lord is trying to deal with them about something. And because they can say this phrase in the company of the saints on a Sunday morning, that I must be okay with God. And they have not progressed. They have not grown any further. Others just don't know that it can be developed into a very fluent emotional language. Actually, spiritual language. Emotional was the way I got in the beginning. I spoke when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I mean, it was absolutely beautiful. I asked for the Spirit of God to come in. Other tongues came out. It was beautiful. But after that, I was just so excited about it. It was like I had a machine gun. Reload. I mean, it was just like, I was just talking in tongues so loud and so fast. And Pastor Bill said, Mark, can I talk to you? Slow down. Syllable by syllable. Slow the language down. That's all I was. I mean, everywhere I'd go, rum, rum. I mean, I was just like a motor mouth. Is that how we talk in English to one another? I mean, if you had a couple cups of espresso, it might be a different story. But we have articulate speech one with another, right? Or we like that person who you can't get a word in edgewise. Is that how we pray in the Spirit also? And as I began to slow down and ask God, Lord God, I want to bless you in this manner. I want to be used of you in this manner, Lord God. Other words and other syllables and sound like other languages, other things. It was just absolutely so beautiful that I even started going too slow. I mean, it was just like you could enunciate and articulate all these wonderful words. And expecting God, as it says there, what Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding. If you find yourself as a person who's just had a similar phrase, whether it be in tongues or the singing in the Spirit, then begin to inquire more. Begin to ask of God more. Lord God, that as I have a fluent English language, I know that the Spirit language has to be so much greater than any natural language on this earth. So much more pronounced and profound and full and, oh. I just would pray that if you find yourself stuck, that you'd get unstuck today. God has given us His precious Holy Spirit for us to increase and to benefit not only ourselves but others who hear us with the understanding. The Word of God specifically tells of three places where people were saved and they spoke with tongues. And we know the first one is in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, when Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. And all those that were gathered in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God came upon them, and they all spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we know that after their departure from that upper room, if you read down through there in Acts chapter 2, you'll count that there were 16 different nations present at that time in Jerusalem. And it says that they spoke, and when they spoke, every man heard them in his own language. Now, reading through the different commentaries and the different things that how people try to describe that, one person describes it is that individual disciples and people that were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were given that particular language and they spoke in that language. Others say they were given the language of heaven, as we hear other people speaking, as I speak, and that it went into all their ears. All the different 16 nations represented, it went from their spiritual tongue that they were given into the hearing of those people from those different languages. It went into their ears in their own understanding. Our spiritual language in their understanding. However it occurred, the Spirit of God came down. They spoke in other tongues, and each person heard them in his own language. You see, Jesus couldn't tell us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature if he didn't give us the wherewithal to make the message known. Whether supernaturally, I have read instances of people that were called to various countries as missionaries, and they prayed and fasted, and God gave them that language supernaturally. Without study, without Berlitz, without Rosetta Stone, without these ways of learning the language supernaturally. Other people, when God told them to go into a nation or into a foreign language, it happened to be that they, when they ministered to someone, the person that got saved understood their language, and God used the other person to interpret for them. I've had a lot of interpreters over the years. That God would, I would speak in English and they would interpret in the language that I was addressing at that time. God would not call us to go somewhere where he has not already made a provision in advance. God was the one who confused the languages at the Tower of Babel, and on the day of Pentecost, unconfused the languages. He told us to go into all the world, and therefore every one of us are equipped fully, if we're saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, to do what God has called us to do. We are all completely equipped, whether we know that language or not. We must trust God. God will either give us a language supernaturally or give us a person through whom we can speak. That's how we have to trust God. Amen? Now, we also know that the other time was to the house of Cornelius, where Peter is preaching to them, and they supernaturally, I mean, his message is not even done, but he does give the entire gospel message. It says that they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. I think this one here, it says that they magnified God. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Let me just make sure that that's correct. And if you want to read that on your own, that's in Acts chapter 10. And while Peter was still speaking, verse 44, these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision and believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So we have Acts chapter 2 now and Acts chapter 10. Paul coming up to a group of disciples in Ephesus, in the upper regions of Ephesus. He was thinking that they were disciples of Jesus, and he asked them the question, have you been filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, we have never heard of any Holy Spirit. And so upon some investigation and some talking with them, he found out that they were disciples of John and ministered the gospel of Jesus to them. And then they were water baptized, and it says, then he laid hands on them. And it says the Spirit of God came into them, for they spoke with tongues and glorified God. So we have three specific instances in the Word of God where people are baptized, they're saved and they're baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak with tongues. We know Paul spoke with tongues. In Acts chapter 9 is when he gets saved. And Ananias is used by God. Jesus tells Ananias to go to Paul and lay hands on him that he may receive his sight. But when Ananias goes to Paul and lays hands on him, and he says, Jesus sent me to lay hands on you that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus never told him to lay hands on him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It was already a given in the church. If a person is called to ministry, if a person is going to do anything for God, if when Jesus told them not to leave Jerusalem until they were endued with power, and Jesus has just appeared to Ananias in a vision and said to go lay hands on him, for he's called to be a witness. So he knew it was already given that he had to receive his sight and for him to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't say in Acts chapter 9 that he spoke with tongues. But in 1 Corinthians 14, there's a passage there, I think it's verse 18. Let me make sure. Where he makes a comment about his spiritual language. In 1 Corinthians 14, he says this. And yes, it's verse 18. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. So here's Paul acknowledging the spiritual gift that he had received. And more than likely, we don't say for sure because the word of God doesn't say it, but it's during the time where Ananias had laid hands on him and the Spirit of God came into him. So who else do we know specifically that spoke with tongues? The church of Corinth here, because he's dealing with it. He's dealing with the whole subject of prophecy and speaking in tongues. So we have five distinct places in the Word of God that we know for sure people were baptized with the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues. Now, if something's repeated once, it gets my attention. Something's repeated twice, it really gets my attention. But when I have the number five, God's grace, it really gets my attention. I don't know about you, but I need as much grace of God as I can possibly get and walk in that grace. And so we see here from this that Paul himself spoke with tongues more, and he thanked God. He actually thanked God. When was the last time that we thanked God for speaking in tongues, for the ability to speak in tongues and all that it accomplishes and all that it does? And we're so appreciative to God for this wonderful ability, this wonderful benefit, this wonderful joy, this wonderful dynamo of inspiration that has been given to us. And sometimes it's just relegated to a few minutes when we come here and we feel a certain way on a Sunday morning. And it's not incorporated into our very existence and our very life every single day. I mean, it needs to be. But you know, what's the right heart in this? The right heart in this is 1 Corinthians 14:1. Like I've said, I've heard people do it the right way and I've heard people do it the wrong way. And 1 Corinthians 14:1 specifically lays out the proper pursuit that we're supposed to have. And the proper pursuit is to pursue love. Because, you know, we just got through, if you just get through reading, chapter 13 is before chapter 14. And chapter 13, verse 1, Paul is saying, well, if I've got the tongues of what? Men and of angels, and I don't have love. I mean, I've heard a lot of people speak in tongues over the years, and there wasn't any love manifest within their lives. I mean, there's been anger, there's been bitterness, there's been unforgiveness. It's come out mean, it's come out nasty in some people. But if we're pursuing God, if we're pursuing to be like Him, if we're pursuing to be patient, if we're pursuing to be kind, if we're pursuing not to be boastful or arrogant or parade ourselves, look what I can do. Some people have an arrogance about themselves. Some spirit-filled people have an arrogance about themselves that they think that they're better than those who don't. I speak in tongues, do you? Instead of, my gosh, I've been blessed of God. I've been blessed with the Spirit of God. He's given me a way by which I can serve Him more and serve that person more. I've got divine insight that this person doesn't have. And God can use me in a greater capacity, in a greater way that I may serve this person. Not saying I've got something over on you. That's prideful. That's parading it around. And the Word of God says we're to pursue love. If we found ourselves arrogantly, we speak in tongues at this church. God forbid that we'd prayed it around like that. But as a gift that is to be used to increase the body of Christ, to glorify God. And that's the desire that we should have. We should be able to go through this portion here of 1 Corinthians 13 and say, oh God, I love you, Lord God. Keep me patient, Lord God. Keep me kind. Don't allow me to be one who's full of pride and parade myself of those things that you have blessed me with, that my life does not behave rudely or improperly, Lord God. And we find ourselves before Him in a proper manner. He says, pursue love. Desire spiritual gifts or desire to be spiritual. Desire to be like God. Desire to be godly. Desire to be holy. Desire to emulate Him and manifest Him and be like Him. Then it says, and especially that you may prophesy. You see, it's with the right heart, it's with the right character, it's with the right spiritual demeanor that I really believe when we've positioned ourselves properly spiritually, I believe that there's going to be a release of prophecy the way that God wants it released. There's going to be a release of people being able to pray in the Spirit, and you're going to be able to hear the understanding, and you're going to allow God to speak that understanding through you. But it's only when it's pursued properly. It's only when that our utmost desire is to honor God and to make Him known and to allow His heart and His life to be revealed through us, that we would properly be a spokesman, a spokeswoman, a spokesperson of God, wanting nothing more than to reveal His heart to His children. And having this desire and having this compassion, that we would want to be used in such a manner. And that's a great desire of my heart and a great desire of my life. There are times where I'm in my study and I'm asking God for a direction. I'm asking Him, Lord, what is it You want me to speak? What is it You want me to share? And nothing happens. I simply just lean back in my chair. I just put my arms out to my side. I just begin quietly worshiping Him in the Spirit. I begin praying in the Spirit. Sometimes I begin singing in the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you why in a few moments, why I position myself spiritually like that. Because as I'm doing that, there's these things that go through my understanding as to the benefit, as to the purpose, as to the reality, as to the joy and rejoicing of my heart of what praying in the Spirit does. And the very first one here, if we'll just look down here at verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to who? It says we speak to God or we speak by God. When we yield ourselves, there is a release, there is a desire, there's a pursuing of God that takes place. I don't know exactly what to say. You know, at times my English prayer only goes so far. But when I release myself to pray to God in the Spirit, it seems like it's endless. It's fathomless. It seems like there's no beginning and there's no end to it. You just find yourself almost at times lost in God. And I say, oh, Lord God, and I have this thought process that goes on from the heart and with my understanding. Lord God, I'm speaking to You and I'm speaking by You. By You meaning by the Spirit of God. I'm allowing Him to be released right now through my life, through my vocal cords to speak things out. And I have this thought and I have this vision like this when I pray in the Spirit. If you pray in the Spirit without purpose, then what is the meaning of it? If you don't know why you're doing what you're doing. But look what it goes on here to say, not just to God. It says, it's no one understands Him. If I was just to get up here and for half an hour just talk to you in tongues today. Oh, well, hey Pastor Mark does a pretty good job praying in tongues, doesn't he? What benefit did you get? How did it help you? It says, no one understands. But what does it go on here to say? No one understands Him. However, in the Spirit, He speaks mysteries. I wholeheartedly believe that when I'm praying in the Spirit, that there are things unbeknown to me, unbeknown to you, that God is releasing. That God is speaking out. There are times where I do have the understanding. Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding. And there are times that there's an understanding that comes, that happens to me. There are times where God says, I just want you to be faithful to pray. He may show me a person. He may show me a nation. He may show me a leader. He may show me one of you. And He just prompts me to pray in the Spirit for you. There are things that are taking place, things unknown to me, that circumstances and situations are now being set up in the spiritual realm to take place that no devil can get in the way and my understanding can't get in the way of it either. Do we believe that? Have you put purposed faith in that direction? There are things that He wants to pray out ahead of time, that He wants to reveal to us that are coming to pass. Things of His Word that He wants to teach us.
And so when I find myself praying in the Spirit, and I don't have a direction here when I come before you, I know that I've taken that time to pray in the Holy Spirit. And I know understanding comes. I know that I've done what God wants me to do, and I walk by faith and not by sight. I know He'll give me a word. At times, you know, when the understanding comes to some of us at times, some people don't speak because only two words of English come to their understanding. You speak those two words by faith, He'll give you the rest. Sometimes you'll get one sentence and there'll be a person right next to you or over here, that will get the next sentence and a next sentence and a next sentence. And you put it all together is the complete thought of God, what He has for this church. And a person may say, well, I only have a sentence. Speak out that sentence in English then. And we'll believe God for the rest of it. So it says here that I can speak mysteries. And this word mysteries, if we'll just look at it, it says things hidden that God is making known. The secret counsels of God dealing with the affairs of mankind in the unseen realm. You know, God can use us by praying in the Holy Spirit to affect people, to affect leaders, to affect presidents, dictators. God can use us to speak in an unknown tongue, to put a halt on demonic forces and fallen angels and principalities. There's things that we can utter forth from our lips in the Holy Spirit that can do so much good. But if we don't believe that God can use us in that capacity, or when you're praying in the Spirit, that it can even go in that direction, then there's no faith behind it. God wants you to believe that you're talking to Him or by Him, that there's things that He's wanting to release out in the spiritual realm, and that at the same time, it's going to bring a personal benefit back to you. Look what it goes on here to say. I'm going to read verses 3-5. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks the tongue does what? Edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. So he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. I've got this going on the inside of me. God, I am speaking to God. I'm speaking by God. I'm speaking things that He wants spoken out in the Spirit. At the same time, I'm being built up. I'm being restored. I'm being fixed. Because if you look at this word edify, he that edifies himself. It means to build a house. We're all being built. The Word of God tells us in Ephesians 2 that we're all being built a habitation of God in the Spirit. Does your life need to increase more spiritually? Then my other question is to you, how much and how often have you been praying in the Holy Spirit? That's right, a whole lot of people are bored with it too. But it says the word edify means to restore, means to rebuild, and it also means there's a third R in there that came out in that definition. Restore, rebuild, and repair oneself spiritually. When I find that there's things not going right, or I see that there's an area that needs to be corrected, it doesn't cause me to stop pursuing God. I say, oh Lord God, Your word says, if I pray in the Spirit, Lord God, there's a restoration that's taking place, a rebuilding that's taking place, a repairing that's taking place spiritually within my life. I'm speaking by God. I'm speaking things out that He wants spoken out, unseen, unbeknown to me. It's impacting me personally, building me up. It's fixing me. It's healing me. It's impacting me spiritually in ways that could not ever be done otherwise. And these are conscious things that I have going on that I know that are taking place when I'm praying in the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have this type of conscious thinking or these words that you've planted on the inside of you, this what praying in the Spirit does to you, then you're not going to get much benefit from it. Sometimes it would just be an exercise in futility if there isn't faith behind it. But look what it goes on here to say about tongues prayed with the interpretation. He says here, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish
you all spoke with tongues, meaning that there were some in the church at Corinth that weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he desired for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There are people attending this church that need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and God wants you baptized in the Holy Spirit. God desires for us to receive of his fullness. And so Paul was addressing not only those who were filled with the Spirit, but to those who weren't because of what they were missing and what spiritual benefit could be secured and lived in. Is having this closer relationship with God of the indwelling Holy Spirit coming into their lives. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more, what? That you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues. He didn't stop there. There's no period there. A lot of times people put a period there. Okay, all we have to do is forget tongues. All we need to do is make sure that we're listening to God and prophesying. No, unless, I love that word, unless there. He kept speaking, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. So Paul is saying that prophecy is equal to the speaking of tongues with interpretation or the granting of the understanding of what's being said. That the church may be built. That people in the church may be restored. That people in the church that are broken may be repaired. That those who aren't feeling too good about themselves, maybe something's going on in their life and they've only been made it known to God, and God wants to bring forth a word of encouragement to them, an exhortation to them. But what good if I just look at that person and go, hello? But then, if God grants me that understanding or grants you that understanding, and that person's broken or that person's hurt, and there's a word of encouragement that comes forth, a word of exhortation, sometimes even a word of correction that comes forth. Why? To restore, to fix, to help and benefit that individual. And so if you're praying in the Spirit with that type of attitude, with that type of thinking, I'm praying to God, I'm praying by God. I'm speaking things out that he wants spoken out that no one knows. I don't know. No person knows. No devil knows. No angel of God knows. It's only known to God. And when he wants to reveal, he will reveal it. And I'm going to be built up. I'm going to be fixed. I'm going to be restored. All these wonderful things are happening to me. And if he gives me an understanding or someone else the understanding, the church is going to be increased by it. Man, just think if you're praying like that, with that kind of understanding, how it will change you. It will change this place. It will change all the churches. This is what he wants. I guess I've appreciated this gift so much. I just thought that everybody appreciated it and had such an expectation like I myself did. And when this man asked me that question, when I've been speaking to some of you, I speak with tongues, you know, like what's the big deal? My gosh, it's huge! It's a huge deal! And when someone just says, I remember I got baptized with the Holy Spirit back in, and I spoke with tongues. Oh, what have you done since then? Well, you know, not a whole lot. I mean, come on now. Come on now! No, you come on now! Look at here in verse 6. It says, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophecy, or by teaching? You see, that's why it's so incorporated in my life, so focused in my life. Because if I am focused this way of praying in the Spirit, of looking to God in the Spirit, expecting to be taught of Him, expecting understanding to come, and when I know that I have prepared myself spiritually before God, I can expect revelation from God to flow. I can expect knowledge to come. I can expect wisdom to come. I can expect His proper teaching and His proper doctrine to be issued forth from the hearts of those prepared to give it forth. I can expect that. But he said, if I just came to you speaking with tongues, it's not going to profit you anything. It's not going to release anything into your life. Nothing. I mean, I have seen this little room back here has now been converted to a video room. And I've been transferring some of Pastor Bill's super VHS teachings to DVD recently. And one of the super VHS teachings I came across was from Larry Thomas. And as most of you know, Larry Thomas was a watchman. And he came here a number of years ago. If you don't know who I'm talking about, he had a ministry of teaching the church proper discernment in these last days because of the words of Jesus about not being deceived and the words of Paul that deception would enter into the church in the last days. So he was one of those teachers that brought forth the proper teaching and how to operate in discerning of spirits. And he said that a lot of times he's being spirit-filled himself, he went to a lot of spirit-filled and Pentecostal churches. He said some people, there'd just be people get up and they just have an oration in tongues for 5 minutes. And after, people would be clapping and excited and jumping up and down. And he got up and said, "What was just said that you're so excited about?" He goes, "What benefit did you get? It was just a display that was taking place for 5 minutes. He says, "Why don't we trust God for what was said and then really get excited about the understanding he wants to bring to us?" Yeah. You know, at times we have limited the Holy One of Israel so much. You see, I believe that the prophet, that the teaching, that the understanding comes. I don't limit it. I don't limit to my time of praying in the Spirit, or when we hear people here praying in the Spirit. I don't limit it to just when everybody's quiet and we expect an understanding to come. Because I've learned over the years, MC, Chrissy, Lenora, Jim, those who lead in praise and worship, there may have been an oration or speaking forth in tongues that I've had quietly, or you did, or someone that spoke here in our gathering. And one of those songs that God gave them is the understanding that we needed to hear, was the teaching that we needed to hear, was the blessing to our heart that we needed to hear. Nobody said, "This is the understanding." But all of a sudden, something happened. Something took place within inside your heart that you were edified. Something was fixed. Something was restored. Something was repaired on the inside of you after worshiping God with that song. You see, God brought the understanding His way, not as we have relegated for Him to do it. During the communion and offering, a person comes up and shares from their heart about a complete and total surrender of what really offering is and speaks so deeply into us. That probably had gone on from someone's heart in other tongues long before the message ever came, but there was an understanding that came today and changed some of us on the inside.
Amen.
You see? But nobody said, "This is the understanding of what was said in tongues." God can bring it forth when God wants to bring it forth. Let's trust Him. Let's trust Him. Or when I get up and share, when Pastor Bill, Larry, or Karen, or some of the Bible school teachers on Monday night, and they get up and share, that could be the understanding that's coming to that group right then in their meeting. And why can't we just believe, like, wow, if you've it all been changed, if you've been edified, if you've learned something, if you grabbed something you didn't know before, if something was out of alignment, it's put back in alignment. That's the understanding that has come to you. Something spiritually has realigned, has corrected. You've been made well, you've been healed, you've been restored, you've been fixed somehow. As a result of it, there's the understanding.
Yeah.
There's the prophecy. There's the teaching. There's the revelation. There's the knowledge. There's the wisdom of God. But if we sit there and say, "Well, we didn't hear somebody say, 'Thus saith the Lord,'" I'm not saying that's wrong. But at times, that's what we've relegated it to. Could be taking place right now to you right now is some of the words that I'm speaking. That's how we have to be able to trust. If I was out somewhere, see, I look at, we're the church. And if I've just thought of how it's going to happen the way that it always happens in here, and I'm out there, I'm going to miss a whole lot of things out there in the world. I'm going to miss a whole lot. What happens if you're sitting there at the dinner table and you had a wonderful time with God? You were praying in the Spirit throughout the day. And all of a sudden you're sitting there at the dinner table. Wow, I just got to share with everybody here right now. All of a sudden you just begin sharing something. It's coming to your understanding and you're speaking to everyone there, whether it be a husband with a wife, whether your family's gathered there, and all of a sudden words are coming out of your mouth. Wow, where's this coming from? Man, the understanding's coming forth. You're a coworker. A coworker's life is falling apart. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself going up to that person and ministering some comfort to them. And God's granting understanding of a life that has been yielded to him, of a tongue that has been spoken. And now the ministry, the life, the edification is coming to that vessel. You see, this is how we have to know that we can be used of God. All of a sudden, doesn't that just expand our horizon? Doesn't that expand it way out of here to everywhere we go? And that's the way it should be. We should be that expanded. If we're just relegating it to 2 hours here, what about the other 166 hours in a week? Man, how much are we missing? I don't want to miss anything. How about you? I want it all. But bless God, when we come here, we better have it here. Amen? We should be expecting God to speak. We should be expecting God to move. We should be expecting for us to be used of God and ministering one to another. Amen? I'm passionate about this. Like I've said, if you're just down to one or two words or a sentence, or it's the same song every time, doesn't he give us a new song? If he can give us a new song, he can give us a new spiritual song. Can he not? Ask him. Ask him. Step out in faith and ask him. Oh, he will fill you so abundantly, so mightily. 1 Corinthians 14:12, it says, even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be done for edification, that the church may seek to excel. I want to read it from the King James Version, because the King James Version puts it in the proper order, puts the word excel in its proper place. Even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel. So what are we supposed to be excelling in? What are we supposed to be looking for? What is it we're supposed to be growing toward? For us to be recognized? That you may excel to the edifying of the church. That's where the excelling is. That's where the growth is. You, the church, being built, being healed, being restored, being taught, being loved, being cared for, being ministered to. Not for me. I don't want us to leave here today. Oh, that was a good word, Pastor. Man, did it change you? Did something happen on the inside? Were you edified? Did something happen in you? Did something build in you spiritually today? Did something that was out of alignment get put back in place? I blew it. Wow, I got right today. You see, that's what I'm wanting. That's what we all should be desiring. The edification of the church, for the church to be built up in faith, to be built up in love, to be built up in compassion, to be a people of mercy, to be a people sensitive to the needs of others. Verse 13 says, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray, ask, beseech, that he may interpret. I mean, there needs to be a desire within us. Lord God, grant me the understanding, just not for my own benefit, my own understanding, but Lord God, you have something for me and for the entire church. Because the verse before it, that the church may what? Be edified. And so pray, desire for the understanding to come. I mean, when you look up that word pray, it's a beseeching, it's an entreating. It's something that comes with very fervent, persistent desire that you're not going to stop or let go till the answer comes, till the understanding happens. But how many of us? Well, I guess I'm not supposed to get the understanding. And it says seek, it says to pray, it says to desire this. Is that your pursuit? Is that your desire today? It needs to be. It needs to be. The Word of God goes on here to say, down here, let me see, I'm just going to read a portion. I'll just read verses 14 to 19, then we'll see where we're going to go from here. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays and my understanding is unfruitful. What is the result then? I will pray with the spirit and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, you see, when we pray in the Spirit, it says that we bless. That there's a blessing That happens to us. There's a blessing that takes place. This word blessed speaks of a praise. It speaks of a celebration. It speaks about a blessing to God. It says, if we bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen? At your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say. For you indeed give thanks well. When we pray with the Spirit, when we speak with the Spirit, when we sing in the Spirit, we bless God, we give thanks well, it says. But the other's not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Number one, if it says that we bless God and we give thanks well when we pray in the Spirit, if we would ask God and expect God to give us the understanding, then we can all bless well, we can all give thanks well, and we can all agree with it and all receive the benefit from it. All. The Word of God. Do you remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? He told his disciples, could you not pray, how long? Could you not pray with me? 1 hour. Now, I don't know why Paul said 5 words and 10,000 words, but I just happened to do a quick Google search on the average words that a person speaks per minute. And it's 140 to 160 words a minute that a person speaks. If you take 140 or 160 and divide it into 10,000, it comes over a little over an hour, about 62 words. 62 minutes. I don't know about you. Praying in tongues, a couple sentences and stop, doesn't cut it for me. I find myself with long durations of praying in the Spirit. I find myself having hours of praying in the Spirit. I was reminded, I have a book that someone wrote of a biography of Smith Wigglesworth, and one of the chapters is, what was the secret to his power? Number one, he was a man of God's word. He did not consider himself fully clothed or fully dressed unless he had a New Testament within his pocket. And at every opportunity, every chance, he would pull it out and read it. When he first got saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, he did not know how to read. And his wife, Polly, taught him how to read. And she taught him how to read from the Bible. And it was said, or he even said, that the only book he has ever read was the Bible and nothing else. And someone challenged him on that and says, well, how can you say that you've never read another book when you wrote a book, Ever Increasing Faith? He says, I didn't write that. Somebody took it in shorthand, my messages, and printed those messages in a book. I haven't even read that. He said that he was so focused that the Word of God was its own best commentary. He said commentaries can make a person have a swelled head because it gives us a whole lot of knowledge and makes us sound really good. But the Word of God will give you a swelled heart. Then he talked about his other so-called secret was praying in the Holy Spirit. He said there were times, probably every day, that he didn't feel like praying in the Spirit. He made himself, I will pray with the Spirit, we just read. I will pray with the understanding. He said he applied his will, I will pray with the Spirit. He said that, he goes, oftentimes I would begin in the flesh, but after 2 hours I would find myself in the very throne room of God in his presence. So what was his key? One, he was a man of the Word of God, and another, that he was a man given over to praying in the Spirit. And it was said of him that he never let 15 minutes go by that he did not pray. But it was also said that he seldom prayed more than 15 minutes. In other words, he was always constantly in communication with the Father. There was one time when they were driving down the road and they were talking about football. In England, that's soccer. You know, we call it soccer here. And they got talking about a sport and some people on the teams, and he looked down at his watch and he saw a half an hour had gone by and he screamed, stop the vehicle! Stop! And everyone's like, oh, what's the matter? And he flings open the door, he gets out there on the grass and he puts his face down to the grass. Lord God, please forgive me for indulging a half an hour of sports
and forgetting about you, that I did not take that time to acknowledge you. I will never let that happen to me again. See, there was a man who needed to be led and guided by the Spirit because he knew he was called of God to accomplish his purposes. And he knew what he was supposed to do. And something else had just taken precedence for a half an hour. And he said he didn't want that to happen again. We need to become more of a people of the Word of God. And those of us baptized in the Holy Spirit, to know the joy, the benefit, oh, the beauty of this wonderful gift we've been given by God of praying in the Spirit. But praying in the Spirit with a desire, with an intent that we're praying by God. We're speaking things out that God wants spoken. We're being edified. Things are being corrected. Things are being fixed in us. And that God wants to use us also to let others know the things that we have been speaking, that their lives may be changed and edified and blessed. And that we can give thanks and bless well with the Spirit. And to know that this is part of our lives and we need to make it more of an integral part of our life. And if we haven't, then we need to ask God to forgive us this morning. If we've neglected the Holy Spirit, if we've neglected this wonderful gift of God. Paul even told Timothy, don't neglect the gift that was given to you through the laying on of hands. He told him that he had to stir himself up. At times we have to stir ourselves up. But Paul goes on here to say, in verse 39, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Many organizations and places today that forbid to speak with tongues. There was a church that I attended growing up in Puerto Rico. It was called the Christian Servicemen Center. It was a small canteen on the outside of the naval base in Puerto Rico that they had ping pong tables and pool tables, and they had things set up for the Navy personnel. And they also had church services on Sunday, and I was going to say I was dragged. I was brought to a couple of those church services. But I did not know about a belief back then that they had until I went back with Christine one time, and I walked into the foyer, and I saw these tracks on the wall. And I picked up one of the tracks, Why Speaking in Tongues is of the Devil. There's a passage here that says to forbid not to speak with tongues. And those of you who might have come in early and heard me at the first service, I'll repeat this now. There's something taking place in the Church of Jesus Christ right now. Those that have believed in cessation theology are having to rethink their theology. Cessation theology says a lot of these things that were relegated to the first church are no longer valid for today's church. That they have ceased, that the gifts of the Spirit has ceased. It was just to establish the first church. Well, a lot of pastors, seminary professors, have crossed paths with people who have been truly baptized with the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues, and they cannot deny the work of grace within inside their lives. They cannot deny the power and the influence and the presence of God in the lives of those that are baptized with the Holy Spirit, that are genuinely walking after Him, and they cannot deny this. So they've had to go back and look at their doctrines. They've had to go back and look at their theology. And it has the term right now coined, Reformed theology. And depends on which camp the term Reformed theology is being spoken of. But people are coming to an understanding saying, the gifts of God are for today. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for today. People who otherwise 5, 10, 15 years ago said it had ceased, it's not for today, it's of the devil, are having to have repented and are experiencing now the fullness of the Holy Spirit. They've got a long way to go. I've been to some of their websites. I've listened to some of their message. I've seen how they're allowing it to take place. They're very rigid on how they allow the manifestations to take place within a church setting. But they're experiencing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They are speaking in other tongues. God knows how. I mean, God was able to get their attention and show them their error
Let God also by the Holy Spirit show them their rigidity. But yet there's some of us who are so liberal that we have gotten so far off track in certain areas that we've just taken something so wonderful and so beautiful and treated it as something so common. And it's so necessary for us. And so I thank God when I come across individuals like that. I pray for those churches. I'm praying for those pastors. I'm praying for them because some of them have been actually excommunicated from the main denomination because of now what they have found. I mean, they're even talking about casting devils out of people. They're casting demons out of people. I mean, they're talking about how people are possessed and how they're oppressed and how it happens with the saved and with the unsaved and how a saved person can be oppressed to the devil and how to cast that off. I mean, I'm talking about a Bapticostal. I'm talking about a Baptist pastor who casts out devils now and speaks in tongues. Man, and when I heard the guy 5 years ago, he wasn't like that. He's changed. My gosh. Have we changed but in the wrong direction at times? Have we let go of some things that should be so vital to us? And that's what I'm asking this morning. As that man asked me in Belize, is it just one sentence, Pastor? Is it just one similar phrase that is continually said or sung? I said, oh no. It's a glorious, full, complete language that's ever expanding. It's ever growing. And you can have it now. And so can all of you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the gift, the promise of yourself, Father, to us, your precious Holy Spirit. We love you, Father, and we thank you for the Spirit of the living God within our lives. I pray, Father, the Word of God says there's two things that people can do in the church. They can quench or grieve the Holy Spirit. I pray we don't do either of them, Lord God. And as we were reminded recently, Lord God, from Acts chapter 5 about those who lied against the Holy Spirit, and that we are not people who lie against the Spirit of truth because He is truth and He lies not. Father, teach us to hallow you within us by the Holy Spirit. To not treat commonly the beautiful, wonderful gift of the ability of speaking with other tongues, Lord God, because there is so much good and benefit and life and healing and restoration and changing, Lord God, of families, of communities and even nations, Lord God. Oh, Father, show us the greatness, Lord God, of this gift that you've given to us. And let us become more sensitive, Lord. And become more of a desired vessel, Father, that you would desire to speak for through us, Lord God, more with an understanding so that we can all benefit. So that if, as the Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians 14, if there comes a person among us who's uninformed, who knows nothing about, Lord God, this that we have received, that we enjoy so much. And he hears just all speaking in tongues and says, man, they're out of their minds. But one person, two people, three people begin to speak with an understanding, to begin to speak with a revelation, to begin speaking with a wisdom or with a knowledge, Lord God. Then all of a sudden the secrets of that man's heart is exposed. Things that he's never shared with anyone, but he may have voiced them to you, and that's why he's in the house of God, coming to see if there is bread in the house of God. Is there life in this place? And he sees that God does know me. God does know me. God does know me. Truly, God is in this place. Father, let us just not be a people who just speak out in tongues, but desire, Lord God, to speak your understanding so a life can be encountered with your love and with Jesus Christ. And it says that this person falls on his face and he worships God because he knows God is present. That's what we want, Lord God. Such an unveiling of yourself, such a revelation, such an understanding, such an interpretation that we find ourselves at times undone and on our face before you, saying, God is here, God is here, God is here, and I've encountered him and I'm changed. That's what I pray, Father, because that's what you do to me. That's what you do with me, Lord. And I ask, Lord God, that you forgive me for not being more diligent, Lord, to sharing these truths with my brothers and sisters, of how deep you want to go and how free you want to free all of us, Lord God, in your gifts. And we've just spoken of one. Your word tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, but the manifestation is given to all. To every man to profit. You tell us, Lord God, in your word, that the Spirit's release, the Spirit's manifestation, even here right now, is to profit us, to gather us, to collect us in, to bring us closer with you and to one another. The Holy Spirit is given to gather in your harvest. The gifts of the Spirit are given to gather in the harvest. The gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit, is to, if we are on the fringes, is to get us close to the very center of God's heart, is to bring us all in collectively. Father, I thank you for more and more of a release, Lord God, of yourself in our presence, in our midst, Lord, in our gatherings, in our homes, in our communities, in our workplaces. Wherever we are, you are there. We thank you, Father. And we do repent as a body if we've neglected any of your gifts, if we've somehow maybe not vocally said it, well, I don't see them working today, that we have an unspoken cessation theology, Lord God. Because maybe we haven't seen the things that your word says. And so quietly within our heart, we have said, I guess they're not working here, or they're not working in my life. Forgive us, Lord God, if we have ever said that they have ceased or they won't work through me. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. But we find ourselves right now, Lord God, before your throne. We find ourselves, Lord God, right now, first before the cross. And we say, Lord Jesus, you gave your all for us. But in order for me to experience the divine exchange, to have all of you, I lay down my all to have your all. Your word tells us if we try to save our life, we'll lose it. But if we will voluntarily lose it, give it up to you, relinquish it to you, then you, Lord God, bring all your saving graces within our life. We thank you, Father, for doing this in this church here. Oh, I pray, Father, it's taking place in so many other churches. But let us not miss, Lord God, this one last time, as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, this one last time of the shaking, this one last time of getting the church's attention, this once more of you coming in and walking in our midst. I will not be party of missing you walking in our midst. And all of us here say amen to that. We will not be party to missing you, but we will embrace what you have for us individually, for us corporately, and for us as part of the body of Christ. So we thank you, Father, for this right now, in Jesus' name. Amen.